God will only empower those who talk about him. If you talk about a church, you don't need Holy Spirit empowerment. If you talk about your pastor, you don't need a Holy Spirit empowerment. If you start talking about Jesus, he will empower you.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
We are still focusing on the Acts of the Apostles, and last week I reminded you that actually, to me, it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, and I do believe the Holy Spirit wants to work through us today as well. Amen. Three things we did mention from our last study, that the book of Acts reveals three things to us. It shows us the church and how that church looks like when the Holy Spirit is in that church. The book of Acts shows us what happens when the Holy Spirit infuses a church. It becomes a church that is vibrant, full of fire, and so on. But please don't make a mistake. The New Testament church was not perfect. Ananias and Sapphira were inside the church. Jesus told them to go and wait. They didn't. They went to vote. They were not a perfect church. There were things they still did that was wrong. So that is the second thing that the book of Acts shows us. It does not only show us what happens when the Holy Spirit infuses a church, it also shows us how a church functions when the Holy Spirit is absent. And finally, it shows us what we are supposed to do and also be as the church of Jesus today. Amen. So in our last lesson, we understood that we should never, never attempt to do the work of God without the Spirit of God. Never do it. The reason for which there is many pastors, musicians, ushers, what have you, all around, and we are all claiming we are doing the work of God, but it's not being done God's way, is because we are doing it without His Spirit. Always make sure that it is God who is leading you. Amen. Amen? There was a pastor, he's a pastor of a very big church, and he was in the country, and whatever reason, he got my phone number, and when we talked, he said, I hear you do projects and don't push the people for money. How does that happen? It's a very difficult question to answer, but these were my simple words. If the project came from him, he will provide for it. Because the word provision, if you slash it into two, is providing for the vision. If the vision comes from him, he will provide for it. If I dream it up, I have to twist your hands to get the money. So sometimes the money doesn't even come from us in this building. People write us checks, we don't know where they come from. God has a way of taking care of his things. That is why I'm meticulously slow. Because once I know he is saying it and I push for it, he will pay for it. Amen. The church must understand who we are. We cannot function like the world. Please do me a favor. Raise your right hand and say this after me. From this day, I will make sure that I live by the Spirit. Amen. Somebody had said that there is too much of the world in the church, and there is less of the church in the world. And that is why the world does not see what the church ought to look like. we permit too much of the world into the church of God. I think we need to move away from that. Amen. And so we should never attempt God's work without His Spirit. Today's lesson is about the work. What is the work that He wants us to do? And so turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 1. We'll read verse 4 and 5, and then we will jump to verse 8. But our focus will be on verse 8. The work that He wants us to do. He says, never attempt my work without my Spirit. What is this work that He wants us to do? And the truth is, every single one of us in this building is tasked with that work. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5. Once when He was eating with them, He told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, wait here to receive the promise from the Father, which I told you about. John baptized people with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you, or He comes on you, you will receive power. You will be my witnesses. Please underline that, those two words, my witnesses. That is the work. God wants you to be His witness. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and in every part of the world. So today, our focus will be this, bearing witness for Jesus. Say that with me. So let's begin by understanding the word witness. All right, it is a very common terminology in law, but it has have applications in other areas. A witness is someone who has seen something and they can testify to it, generally speaking. In the scriptures, it is the same, but it is a little different. And I want us to walk through the Word of God to define it. When you read the Bible, you will come to the understanding that in the Old Testament, which is the Hebrew scriptures, the word "ed" is used. And that is what is interpreted as witnesses. In the New Testament is the word "matus," out of which we get the English word martyrs, that if you're going to be a witness for Christ, it means you will end up dying for Him. You're quiet. All of us want to go be with the Lord, but nobody wants to die. So we are trying to define the term witness in the scriptural context. So first of all, go with me to the book of Ruth chapter 4. I will not read the entire 9 verses, starting from verse 1, but I will read only one verse. Now, you all remember the story of Boaz. You all remember Boaz? All right? The guy who saw Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth. All right? And we are told that it came to a point where he wanted to marry Ruth. And so he had to go through a process because he was not the closest relative. Okay? Based on their custom, somebody else was what we call in the King James, the kinsman redeemer, or the closest relative, who had the chance to buy the land of Elimelech and also marry Ruth. Now, Boaz brought all the leaders or the elders in his community into a meeting at the city gate. When they showed up, he says, I have called you guys today to come here to witness a transaction. Let's pick up from Ruth chapter 4, let's look at verse 9. Please, if you can read with me from the screen, shall we? Then Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses today. I am buying from Naomi everything that belongs to Elimelech and Chilion and Mahlon. Chilion and Mahlon were the sons. Remember, they had all died. And Arpa didn't come, but Ruth showed up. And he says, I want to acquire everything, including the woman. Now, that's customary. It's not done in America. However, he says, I can't do it because I am not the next in line. Somebody else is. So when he gathers the elders, he says, you are here as what? Witnesses. It tells you that a witness sees something But then they are part of the process itself also. Are you guys following? In the context of the world, it is simply somebody who has seen it. But in the scriptures, it goes beyond that. All right, let's go to the second scripture. This one will be in the New Testament, and it is about Jesus. In the book of Luke chapter 24, Jesus has resurrected. He meets the people, some of his disciples. He opens their eyes so they will understand the scriptures. And then the scripture tells us, he tells them about the fact that Jesus died and he resurrected. And that through him, there is forgiveness of sins, and God requires that men will repent. Then he says to them in verse 48, please read with me, Luke chapter 24, verse 48, shall we? Read. He says, you are witnesses of these things, Matthews. He is saying that something important happened in Jerusalem. Jesus died. He rose from the dead. And that has made salvation available to all men. And he's saying, you are witnesses. So notice from these two verses, from Eid and Matthews, right? Let's put it together that a witness in the Bible is someone who has seen or experienced something important. The people in Boaz's world, they did experience and they saw something. The disciples also saw Jesus come back to life. So when the scripture says you are a witness, he is not just talking about what you have seen. He's talking about what you have what? Experienced. Are you guys with me? Now, I need everybody to look at me very carefully. You don't need to say anything to be a witness. As long as you were present when the thing happened, you are a witness. But when Jesus says, my witnesses, he is talking about bearing witness. When a witness shares what they know truthfully, they have borne witness. Are you with me? So you can be a witness and never bear witness. That is why the church is full of witnesses who have decided not to talk because they are afraid of the people. Proverbially. We are afraid of what the world will say. We have seen it. We have experienced it. But we do not want to say. I've often heard people who want to wait till the end of the year before they have a testimony. Really? No. You must declare what you have experienced from your God today. So it encourages someone also to know about it. Are you understanding me? So the work we are supposed to do is to be witnesses, my witnesses. In other words, he wants us to bear witness of the things that we have seen, the things we have experienced. Back to the book of Acts chapter 1. Let's look at verse 8 once again. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will receive power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and every part of the world. So the second question I want us to answer is, where are we to be his witnesses? Where? Number one, in Jerusalem. For the Jews, the Jerusalem was the city in which they are. So in application, where is the city where you live? Frederick is our Jerusalem. Then he said, number two, you are supposed to be witnesses in Judea, the region of the county that you are in. It is the immediate community surrounding you. So all of Frederick County is your Judea. Are you with me? Thirdly, he says, you ought to be witnesses in Samaria. Samaritans were the people they did not like, but were neighbors. So people in your neighborhood, that sometimes you don't even want your children to go to their home, they are the ones you ought to bear witness. Am I treading? Am I meddling? People you don't want anything to do with, When they invite you for a party, you only look over just to see them. How many of you have EGR neighbors? Don't raise your hands. Just say, hmm. You have EGR neighbors, extra grace required neighbors. They are the ones you ought to bear witness to. Jesus said, your Jerusalem, your Judeans, the people you don't like, your Samaritans. And finally, he says, the ends of the earth. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Instead of witnessing, we fall into a trap. First of all, we fall into the trap of focusing on me, myself, my family, my children, my work. That's it. And I think it's a very common thing in this local church. Me, myself, go to work, come back, blah, 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 interpret the rest of the tongues. I think you got it. Witnesses don't focus on themselves. They ought to say what they have seen and what they have what? Experience, so that those who are outside can hear it and learn from it. The second trap that we fall into is that we neglect our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria, and we go overseas. I realize people are laughing. Oh, I have a nice organization that actually does work in Africa. You are here in Frederick, Maryland. You have not taken care of this city, your Jerusalem. Jesus says, you start from where? Jerusalem. In fact, if you will allow me, start from your home. Start with your children. Tell them about how God has touched you. This is why parents, when there's a miracle in your life, bring your kids around. Let them understand that this God we serve, someday when they are in the midst of trouble, they can call him and God will come through for them. Don't give them a picture that everything came by your hard work. Because you know that sometimes you can't even manage the bills. I learned a secret very early. That children don't struggle with faith the way we do. So when I have a problem that I realize I'm struggling with my faith, I just circle them. Cha, tell him, we need this. And they just say it and they expect it to happen. And God didn't say, he only answers the prayer of the adult. He answers the prayer of a child as well. And I've seen God come through over and over. And there are days when, yeah, I'm your pastor, but just be honest. You know me, I don't hide my stuff. I just tell you. I'll just bring the kids around and say, Daddy doesn't have this faith. Can you guys pray? And they will pray and they see it. Don't you think the more they pray and they see the hand of God, the more they will become stronger? So instead of witnessing, we fall into that trap. We leave our Jerusalems. We leave our Judeas. We leave the neighbors close by because we don't like them. When we see them go to the mailbox and we are at the mailbox, we want to run away before they show up there. But what makes you think that you can go to overseas and start telling people, oh, the Lord is good. And then when they come to America, visit you in your home, they realize you can't even deal with the next person next door. The third trap we fall into. Can you read it with me? We fall into the trap of witnessing about our pastor's fine preaching. It is okay to say Pastor Neil preaches well, but that is not witnessing. We fall into the trap of the good singing, the facility we have. So instead of you to tell the people about Christ, you are telling them about, oh, we have a big land, the Sunday school rooms, we have TV. No, present Christ to them. Is this things a good thing to talk about? Maybe it's a good discussion point, but that is not witnessing. Are you with me? We fall into the trap of, as our church, we have very good youth programs. So we have churches full of people, full with good youth programs, but have no relationship with the King. That's why I would always applaud our children's teachers here. Because you realize that their focus is how these kids will come to faith in Christ. We are tackling our Jerusalem. Amen. Have you heard? We are helping churches in the Philippines and so many other places. So come to our church and you become part of that program. So the person comes to church with the mindset that all we are about is programs in the Philippines and other places. We start from Jerusalem. Amen. Jesus tells a story in the book of Luke chapter 15. You all remember the story of the prodigal son, right? Which is the first one Jesus starts talking about. The prodigal son is the lost son. But he tells two other stories in that same chapter. One is about the lost coin. The other is about the lost what? Sheep. It is easy to find the lost sheep and the lost son. But how do you find a coin hidden under these chairs? How do you find the one that is lost inside the house? Some of you might be sitting here coming to church every day. You love wearing white. You love singing praises. But you still don't have a relationship with Jesus. Today, I beg you in the name of God Almighty, it's time to seek a relationship with the King. This is what this is all about. It's not a place where you can find fellow people from your country so you can feel good. That's not witnessing. And today we're going to witness a young woman who is going to rise up and say, God healed me. So I want to rejoice and praise his holy name and declare that who is a God besides our God? A shelter and a strong tower. This God is my God. It's time we, you know, Thanksgiving is not about eating. It's okay to eat. But it's about singing. It's about worshiping. It's about declaring, oh, you are Jehovah Madagascar. Oh, you are El Nayon. You are the great God. After you, does God need your food? No, he doesn't. But he needs your words. Your words don't change him, but your words puts him in remembrance. You still recognize who he is. So I am challenging you today. Let's all make it a point to stop talking about church programs and stuff and talk about him. That is the work that God wants us to do. I'm going to make a statement. I need you to write it down. God will only empower those who talk about him. If you talk about a church, you don't need Holy Spirit empowerment. If you talk about your pastor, you don't need a Holy Spirit empowerment. If you start talking about Jesus, he will empower you. Have you ever tried praying for a coworker? You know how you go to work and the coworker looks a bit sad. And he says, you okay? He says, no. Most Christians don't even take advantage of it. They simply say, oh, I'm sorry. Rub their back 2 times. I'm sorry. And that's it. No. You were presented with a divine opportunity. He says, oh, so things are not well? Tell me about it. And I'll take time and I'll listen. And when they are done, you go straight to the point. The Jesus I serve, he's helped me through some of these issues. Mine is not like yours, but how about we pray and see what he can do? At that moment, God would empower you. You pray some kind of prayer, you realize you have never, ever prayed in your life. And when the results come, God gets the glory. But guess who gets the honor? When Jesus was sitting on the donkey, and they were putting red carpet down. The people were singing Hosanna to who? They were singing Hosanna to who? But guess who was walking on the carpet? The donkey. So when God uses you to bring glory to himself, you will be honored as well. That is the part Christians don't pay attention. It's like we are in a rat race with God. So everything is about God is going to get the glory. God is going to get the glory. Yes, he gets the glory. You get the honor. Guess what that co-worker would do? He'll go and tell another person, you have a problem? Go see her. Go see her. The last time I told about my, she prayed. And before you realize, it is through the entire company. That is the person who prays for people and stuff begins to happen. May that become your story. How many of you remember Daniel? You remember Daniel? This is who we ought to become. All the people who were satraps and administrators, they look at the guy and they realize, this guy is a prayer warrior. He's different. I'm not talking about when you are behind your desk, you are doing la 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 la. That's not what I'm talking about. That one sometimes is crazy and is creepy. If I was at your place of work, I'll tell you to shut up. Sometimes Christians, we are not tactful at all. The Bible says that people in the world have been blinded by Satan. So spiritual things, they don't understand. Then all you start, do you think they understand you? You are putting them off. So keep your tongues to yourself. And use words they can understand. If we become witness conscious, even sometimes when we stand here, tongues is not appropriate. Because you are trying to reach people. We sing songs and we are singing about how we can shake our bodies. It's not about our bodies. We sing so that the power of God can step into somebody's life who does not know Jesus, so they will come to know him. Become witness conscious. Tell the person sitting next to you, become witness conscious. God would only empower those who talk about him. When you read the scriptures, you will notice that the word witness is used 175 times. The word preach is used only 112 times. And 106 out of the 112 is all in reference to witnessing. So God wants you to talk about him, not about yourself. Amen. In the past, I've heard people say, Pastor, why don't we advertise this way? No, we will not advertise. The best advertisement is the Holy Spirit. How many of the apostles needed a billboard? How many of them needed a Facebook ad? You see, we have become subject to these things because we have chosen not to allow the Spirit of God to work through us. How did that pastor from Africa, big pastor, big church, got here, pick up a phone and said, I want to find out how you do those things? It's because the power of the Holy Spirit made it happen. Holy Spirit is the biggest advertisement. Young people, you want people to see you on campus. Set yourself on the fire of God. Men will come and watch you burn. Those were the words of John Wesley. He says, I have seen that men like fire. So I set myself on fire of the Holy Spirit, and men will come to watch me burn. May God bring us to that place. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.